Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Municipalities across Northumberland are finalizing their 2026 budgets. Politicians struggle to meet the needs of their communities while trying to balance a reasonable increase. Taxpayers are anxious, awaiting the property tax bills to see the results, as an affordability crisis is very real for many. On today's show, there is a good example of this struggle. Alnwick Haldeman Mayor John Logle will talk about the 2026 municipal budget passed last week. Like other municipalities, residents in Alnwick Haldeman are expressing their concerns. We heard from one such resident last week. Have a listen. See what you think about the mayor's explanations and justifications for council's decisions. See if you have heard similar arguments in your community. I'm so pleased to have with me today Alnwick Haldeman Township Mayor John Logle. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Good afternoon, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here with you. We've done this in the past, and I always look forward to our discussion. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All departmental budgets were approved last week. The tax hike is about 4%, 2% on operating a capital budget or the general levy, and 2% on the infrastructure levy. Now, what is the budget accomplishing that you feel is really important?
Excuse me. This budget meets the basic needs of what we have to do over the next year, and that'll be expressed through the levy. And it also recognizes that we do have challenges. All of the municipalities or residents or whatever are facing tough times. And I look at the food bill. My wife brings me the food bill every week, and I look at that and say, my God, how can it be going up so quick? But it's not only that, it's the fact that other expenses are continuing to go up as well, and we can only understand that. But particularly the food, and of course, when it's the food, it reflects in everything else. By that, I mean, you know, the price of gas and those things that come into place as well.
How do you see it being a responsible budget?
Well, we're working together with staff, we've also talked with different members of council, of course, as well as the people that bring us information, and they tell us what's important. Now, unfortunately, the cookie crumble was only so big. I mean, we have all of the different legislative services that we have to provide, and my thought is that there's about 70% of the money that we spend is legislated by the province. And, you know, that's, fire, for example, and libraries and police protection and conservation authorities. All of those type of things are mandated that we don't have too much opportunity to decide whether we need them or not. The ones that we can do some with are services that are not regulated, like parks, community centers, arenas, cultural activities. Those are programs that we know the people want and need, particularly to promote their lifestyle, not only physically, but mentally as well. And, you know, the community centers, I've learned an awful lot about the community centers recently and how important they are to small communities. That's where, you know, and the small communities have lots of people that have grown in those communities for years and years, and they've put some time and effort into building those buildings, and now we have to be willing to have those buildings there. If they're going to use them, then they should be there. That's just looking after your elderly and as well as the kids too. But I think it's important that they have that security behind them.
I'd like to come back to that, but before we do, let's dig into the budget itself.
Okay.
One of the largest increases in the budget was under parks and recreation, and you just alluded to that and being important. Why was that such a large increase?
Bring back the arena, and we know it's got expenses there, and the ice surface it's not the ice surface that's so bad. It's the what's underneath it, and that's the piping and that type stuff. I don't know if you remember, but last year we had a major breakdown, and we had to shut down for 2 weeks and do that repair. And fortunately, it lasted, and it's lasting good, but it's on borrowed time. We know that that structure underneath the floor, which is basically pipes and brine running through them, that lasts for 25 to 30 years under normal, and we've basically got twice that level life out of it now. So that's a big one. The other cost that's expensive is maintaining the parks and the arena itself, but all of the parks and all the different facilities. People want them. They want them open and available. And if we can do it, we need to provide those services.
Planning was another big increase, which was an increase by about a third. What happened there in the planning department?
Planning department, we're anticipating more. It's been slow. The part of planning has been for a couple of years. And I say that only because the demand for new severances in that has dropped, but we see it increasing next year. And there is about a $100,000, I believe, and I don't have my figures right in front of me, but there was a major increase, and that's for to do our official plan. That's a big job. We've been waiting on it, trying to get it done for a few years, but between the province has been continuing to change their official plan, and the county has been held back on it too. But we think we're getting pretty close to those upper tiers needs, and we'll be able to start into that project soon. And to be honest with you, we know that our staffing is kept fairly busy. Well, busy, I guess, is the right word for it, with applications from residents and, you know, subdivisions and that type of stuff. So they're pretty busy. So we'll be contracting a lot of that official plan stuff out to people that are experienced and capable of doing it for us.
Slightly more than a third of the budget goes to public works. Why is that?
That's a great question. Public works I don't know if you're aware of it, but as compared to the other seven municipalities, we have the second most number of kilometers of roads. We have about 548. Trent Hills, I believe, has just over 600. And I'm looking at my notes here, but 600 and smaller ones like our neighbors, Hamilton and Crammy Township, both have Crammy has about half of the road kilometers that we have, and Hamilton has about 5/8 of what we have. So it is an expensive budget, and we need to maintain those roads. And the other thing too is, people expect their roads to be good shape, particularly in the winter months, and it's with the changing in, the change in climate, and I'm not thinking so much about the snow and that type of stuff. I'm thinking more about the ice. And the ice is critical that you control that. And you do that by getting the salt or the sand on fairly quickly. and getting them roads so that they are capable, safe and capable for people to travel on.
There are many people who feel that they're neglected when it comes to road maintenance and road upgrades. What do you say to those taxpayers when they feel that they're not getting the attention that, say, other roads are getting, or it's not sufficient?
I agree with them. There isn't enough sufficient enough money that goes into roads, but I have to look after, and we have to look after not only the roads, but the fire. We have to look after all the different types of services that we need. And yes, I would like to put $300,000 to $400,000 more into the roads and public works budget. We have to meet the minimum standards, and that's what we attempt to do. We also have to make sure that our equipment is in good working order. You know, a new truck, a new snowplow truck is over $400,000 now. And we have 10, and we try to get 12 or 14 years out of them. But so that means you're buying a new truck every other year, and or more. Actually, it's a little bit more. I think we try and get one about, over 14 years, 12, 14 years, we try to get 10. So I guess that's about 1.3 years out of each. The other thing, too, is, and we've got to do more work on them, is we have 42 bridges in the township. That's an awful lot of bridges, and we have to keep them well maintained, and I think we kind of need to concentrate more on that, because to lose a bridge, I know that some communities, across Ontario this is, but some communities have lost a bridge, and it ends up being they have to shut down the road and people have to drive around those. So that's roads are very important. In fact, that's probably the most important service that we provide to everyday residents.
Now, I said that public works makes up one third of the budget.
Yep.
There's another third that is made up from three departments: the governance, administration, the fire and emergency, and protective services, about 13%. What do these departments do that is so costly that it makes up such a big chunk of the budget?
Well, the first one you mentioned, well, I don't know which one you mentioned first, but the one that I'm going to jump at first is the police services. We pay $1.1 million to police services every year. This has gone up in 2026, it's up over 11%. And that's a big hit on the tax. What can we do about it? It's set by the OPP. That comes out of the Ministry of Solicitor General, as well as based on your usage. And I'm proud to say that we have a low usage as compared to many other municipalities. But the whole thing, to make a long story short, you need policing, and we want policing to maintain law and order and provide services when they're needed. The next one you mentioned was administration. Administration is about, you said 13%. I accept that. But that's not that much, really, when you consider that all of the, I think it's actually higher than 13%. But anyways, administration controls the, all of the fire, all of the police work, all of the municipal arenas, that you need to have a good, strong administration organization to put all this together. Otherwise, if you don't have it, then, you have different departments running in different ways, and it's just not productive. I strongly believe you need a strong administration in place to manage all of the different assets that we have.
Another one that I mentioned was fire and emergency. Why is that so significant?
Well, fire and emergency is significant because of the not necessarily the cost that it takes to actually provide the service. It's the preparation. The preparation, and by that I mean we have the fellows go get together at least once every week for 3 or 4 hours at a night to do their training. And that's very important. It's established by the fire marshal's office or the fire office. And, you know, I'll give you an example. The other night, we had to go down and we helped out our neighbors, Grammy Township, when they had that awful fire. And we were working our three fire halls, as well as Grammy, as well as Brighton, as well as Trent Hills. I'm not sure how many they had there. But that's a whole different bunch of people that have to work together. And by God, you got to make sure you know what everyone else is doing just to be safe. The other thing that the fire department handles for us is all vehicle accidents, including the ones on the 401. And that can be, depending on how busy the traffic and everything else, but that can make two or three calls a week. You've got to have all the equipment there to excavate people should they need it. You're actually acting on behalf of the police and any other emergency people and trying to get the traffic slowed down so that those people or the people involved in the accident aren't injured. And there's been, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's been at least two, and I believe there's been a third one, two in the county for sure, and one in Clarington where fire trucks were, well, no, there was actually a fourth one, where the fireworks, fire trucks were actually hit and could have been very, very severe. Fortunately, the fire trucks are expensive, but they did help protect some lives, I believe, too. So that's why fire is expensive. And the other thing, too, is fire also provides assistance to paramedics for emergency calls regarding paramedics. Not all of them they go to, but if the paramedics are more than, I'm going to say, I believe it's 10 minutes, but if they can't be there within 10 minutes, the fire people come in and provide that service as well. So hopefully that answers your question.
Salaries and benefits make up a very large portion of the 2026 budget. How much flexibility is there when it comes to salaries and benefits?
I'm gonna try and compare our township versus the other local ones, and that's my best way of comparison. We have about the same amount of staff per income. So we have a lot less staff than for example Hamilton Township or Crammy. And I'm not saying that they've got too much or nothing like that, but I am saying that at a proportion wise, we have about the same amount. There, you got to remember that Hamilton Township is 11,000 people, and we have 7,500. So, just doing the quick calculations, we end up being about the same per unit or demographics. The other thing that needs to be considered is we need people doing the job that are qualified to do the job, just like the ones that are in other communities. And there's a standard, well, it's not a standard, but there is rates of pay that we pay are based on studies that people go out and look at, you know, a clerk, for example, and make sure the clerks are basically paid at a level similar to other clerks. And if you're not willing to pay for that, then you won't get the staff. The other part about, you know, we talk about staff and salaries and this, that, and the other type thing. Another big burden is I'm going to say it's about 35. It could be a little bit higher, but it's between 30 and 35% of that salary is added on to cover the benefits. And what are the benefits? Well, they're like the holidays, for example, the workers' comp. There's what's vacations, all of those different types of things. And all of a sudden, you know, your employee that's making $60,000, when you take 35% onto that, then you're up to $85,000. So that seems like it's high, but people forget about the benefits, I think.
I guess another one of the reasons I'm asking you about this is because in the budget documentation, it talks about the impact of the consumer price index, which was at an inflation rate of about 1.8%, which the budget says impacts the township's cost of living allowance, or the COLA, in terms of increasing wages. Can you, for people who may not understand what all that means, can you explain what that means and how it's significant?
Yeah, first of all, that cost of living that you quoted, the 1.8%, that is based on the government taking a whole bunch of different apples and or basket. I'm going to pick on food because that's the easy one that I can think of. But they looked at how much a can of soup is a year ago versus what it is now, and pack of bananas or a loaf of bread, and that's how they determined the 1.8%. And that is the increase that was between 2024 and 2025 in the month of November. Now, just so you're aware, that was our base that we staff was paid, as well as everybody else. They got that increase. But it's now up to 2.2%. And people are having to manage with, we give them 1.8%, and that's where it fluctuates. But that's their costs have gone up 2.2%. So I hope that's part of the question. What was the rest of the question?
I guess I was trying to understand or help explain to people why the COLA is necessary and why it gets assigned to the salaries.
Well, it's not necessary. It's in my opinion, it's the right thing to do. Those salaries that they've been living on, the cost of living has gone up. And I guess I realize that it hasn't gone up for everybody. But if we're not willing to be competitive against our next door neighbors or whatever then we will lose those people. Maybe and you have to protect your people and it's a morale herder if they're not treated fairly.
The township is currently negotiating its first contract with municipal employees. Can you tell us what is the status of those negotiations and what was the impact on the budget?
I guess I can say that we're the contract or the negotiations continue, and I can't discuss anything more about the particulars.
Okay, just for reference, how long have you been in negotiation?
Well, that's a fair question. I'm going to say roughly 12 or 13 months. But don't quote me on that. It's 12 or 13 months.
And in terms of budget planning, how does the municipality budget for that scenario? Well, I appreciate you can't talk about the particulars of the negotiation, but how do you as a council plan for that? Because it's obviously going to have an impact if you do reach an agreement.
Yeah. It's very difficult to do that because you're estimating what it's going to go up. It's kind of like buying a car almost. You go in there this is what you can offer for the car. This is what the salesman's worth is going to sell you. And there has to be, negotiations and talked about, see where the best, position lies for both the township as well, as the workers.
I appreciate that as being the negotiation process, but I guess I'm wondering how much money did you allocate in the budget to be prepared that if an agreement gets reached, that you're going to have enough money to cover the costs?
Well, I don't know the number. And if you didn't have enough, you'd be forced to take it out of reserves. And we don't like the budget for something like that. But I can't tell you what the figures were.
Another factor that's impacting the budget this year that's mentioned in the documentation is that previous councils did not raise taxes sufficiently. That's what it says. Yet the chart in the budget shows a zero increase for 1 year only in 2021. Other years, there have been 4% and in some years, nearly 8% or higher. How is it 1 year where there was no increase is going to have such an impact now in 2026?
I don't know if you realize it, but we collect taxes the same as other municipalities around us. And I'm not going to get into the figures because I don't, well, I do know them, but I'm quoting from somebody else. But as an example, we are the lowest, pardon me, the second lowest tax levy from all of the municipalities, and there is one lower than us. So,
I'm not talking about the 4% that you decided on this year. What I'm talking about is in the budget document, it states that one of the reasons for the pressure on this current budget was that previous councils did not raise taxes sufficiently. That's what it says. So that being the case, I looked it up, and it was in 2021, you had a zero increase in the budget. So the rest of the years have been 4%. There was one year where it was 8%. There was one where it was almost 9%. So I'm just trying to figure out, and I want to help people understand, how is it when that one year that was 5 years ago had such an incredible impact, or has been taken into account in the budget for 2026? Can you explain that for me, please?
Well, you're getting into particulars, and I'm sorry I don't have them, but I do know that, you know, you picked out one year that the taxes were left basically at zero. My understanding, between 2005 and 2010 or 11, there was 5 or 6 years that went by where there was no tax increases. And we're trying to catch up from those. And as I said, we're the second lowest tax levied in the county. You would expect that we would be probably lower than some of the cities like, or towns like Coburg and Port Hope, but we are quite similar to some of the other municipalities, and I can tell you we are much, much lower, like a couple hundred dollars per $100,000 of assessment. That's an awful lot, and we're trying to play catch up with facilities and roads, like you mentioned before. Some people complain about the roads. Well, it takes an awful lot of catching up to if you miss 4 or 5 years with zero increases.
Because the chart in the budget shows that from 2019 to 2026 was what they were taking into account when they made those statements. And I guess I was thinking that, you know, you were on council at the time for all those years. And I wondered what role you played. Were you, when you were making these decisions to have a zero increase budget?
I'm not sure if you were aware of it, but Robert, just for everyone's information, I was not involved in the preparation for, or I was not mayor for those 2 or 3 years that you mentioned.
Okay.
I'm second guessing, I guess, but I think you have to have an increase to stay with inflation all the time. Otherwise, you get back, get behind, and then you can't catch up. I know, you know, just way off subject, but I know that I was listening to the news on the radio today, and they had Mayor Chow involved, and she had big increases the past 2 years, and what she claimed was it was to catch up from what was lost, and then this year she's going in, the city's going in at 2%. And a lot of people know that or feel that they're going to have to pay for that in future years. So, in my opinion, it's best to stay on a level line as much as you possibly can, because it prevents those ups and downs, which is hard on people, whether we like to admit it or not. But it is hard on people. People like to get used to this what similars, and when you take away or you give. You they don't understand that. I shouldn't say they don't understand it. It's difficult when you're accustomed to something.
User fees are an area where the township can ensure those who use a service pay for it. Is the township charging enough for its services?
In some cases we are. In cases where you're dealing, in my opinion, when you're dealing with community centers and even the arena, we are, you know, fairly. Well, at the arena, I think we're about probably 10% below some of the other municipalities. although our facility is old, and the ice surface isn't as quite as big. And when I did hear somebody comment about our community centers and how high they are. When you compare them to other municipalities and their services, that is not true. We are quite a bit lower, quite a bit lower. And we're forced to do that, or not forced, but we think it's best to do that because we have four different facilities that are competing for the everybody's money to hold dances or to hold whatever that you want to do with those facilities. And yes, I think we should be charging more. However, there's no sense in losing all of it. I know that you know people feel that they're paying much more, and they are, as compared to what they were 25, 30, 35 years ago. But the price of usage of those facilities is certainly not kept up with inflation.
How would you rate the township's efforts to get government grants on a scale of 1 to 10?
Probably 5.
Why is that?
You're playing in a couple of reasons. You're playing in a game where there's only a pot of so much, and the province announces that this pot is available, knowing full well that not everybody's going to get part of the pot. So that's always a challenge. The other challenge is too is most of the other municipalities that we're familiar with have a person that specializes in grant writing, and we don't have that person. And we try to do the best we can with the people that are closest to it, but that takes an awful lot of experience and knowing the trick words, not the trick words, that's not what I'm trying to say, but the words that will pass a test that says, okay, these people, or they know what they're doing when they're talking about their applications. AI is what I'm trying to say. The programs people that are using the programs know that is what the government uses to decide a lot of those where the money's going. And I wish we could get more. To be honest with you, I wish we could get more.
I want to talk about the Memorial Arena project and its financing. How are you financing this project? You've mentioned it earlier in our conversation. You've explained what's going on. But how are you financing it?
Well, there's several ways to do it. There's tax increases. There is leveraging it. And by that, I mean borrowing money or selling other assets.
All right. Those are your options. What has council decided? And by the way, just so listeners know, this project is going to cost $3.75 million. So what has council decided on that?
We've decided that, I'm not convinced that the 3.75, that's what we're considering, but if we can afford that, then we can afford. The other one that I meant to mention is the drive to get donations for to help us pay for that arena. And that's gotta be a big portion of it as well.
So those are your options. My question again is what has council decided? What's your plan?
Our plan is to get as much as possible from the some donations. If we have to sell some properties, then we'll sell some properties. We can, if council decides that that's what they want to do, we can increase the taxes, or we can leverage and borrow money, which I'm personally not in favor of because that's a personal thing that I have. But, the province continues to recommend that municipalities take on debt in order to improve their assets.
Okay, so you've already started a process, if I'm understanding where we're at in all of this. You've started a process by which you're getting some documentation together for what's it going to take, and you've hired some consultants to do that work for you. So this process is underway. Why has there not been a concrete strategic plan that says, here's how much we're going to raise in taxes, here's how much we're going to get in donations, here's, you know, and so there's something that's concrete and not sort of, it sounds to me when you're talking like they're moving parts and who knows how this is going to get paid for, yet the process is already underway.
Well, you asked before about it, why we, you know, are we getting the grants that are available? Well, I can tell you, if you're going to apply for a grant, you have to have a project that has already been prepared, designed, and they use the word shovel ready. If you're not shovel ready to do that type of work, you aren't going to get the funding from the province. They're looking for people that are ready to go.
Okay, that's all sounds good. But again, I'm going that's back true. To this idea of a concrete plan that says, okay, we're going to do the documentation, we're going to get it shovel ready, and then we're going to raise this amount, we're going to tax this amount, we're going to do this with the surplus lands or the other things that you're considering. Why is there not just something concrete, you know, a document, a report, a strategic plan, or whatever the documentation is that says to taxpayers, here's what we're doing?
We're working on that, but it's not prepared. We haven't signed an agreement to do any of this work. I hope it's going to happen, because if we don't, we're putting our community in, as far as I'm concerned, in jeopardy. If you're not going to
invest... What do you mean by that? Wait a minute. You're putting it in jeopardy. What do you mean by that?
You have to invest to attract new people. And if you're not prepared to do that, then you're just riding a sinking ship. I mean, you know, I'm being a little bit maybe not the right words, but that's basically what you have to do. You have to show leadership and preparation and be prepared to move things along.
One of the things that you mentioned was the sale of surplus lands and buildings. And this is an ongoing process, as you've mentioned. Fenella Hall and the Vernonville Community Center are two such properties that have drawn concern from residents. Where do you stand on these two properties?
Me personally, I don't know if you, are you familiar with Roma or not? I went to people in the public probably don't know what that is. That's Rural Municipalities of Ontario. We get together in a conference for a while. And the last speaker, and I listened to him for probably 45 minutes, he was saying that in order to be successful and look after your people, you have to keep them involved. And the best way to do that, especially, and I'm talking about the older ages people, you have to keep them involved. You have to get them out and physically active, as well as mentally. And that can be playing cards. That could be shuffleboard. That could be just having a coffee together. And you need to keep that alive and going. And yes, it does cost money. And if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I'd been probably the first one to tell you that, no, we can't afford it. We just have to make those happen. They do cost money, I'll admit, but are we taking away from the good of the community to save a few bucks, or do we work the other way? I mean, I'll be honest.
Are you willing to say at this time that you're willing to fight to keep Fenella Hall and the Vernonville Community Center?
I'm not saying that. I am saying if people want to take responsibility and use the facilities. And as you said, are they willing to pay that much? Well, I can't answer that. But if people want those facilities, then they have to step up to the plate and say, council, we want this building. We're prepared to do this and or that. And I believe council will support that. But we cannot just merely go along and say, we need it for once or twice a year and expect the other taxpayers to not use those facilities.
What about
help to pay for them?
What about the potential sale of lands at the sanctuary at Nahuatl? Are you prepared to sell it or a portion of it?
I'm not, but I'm only one person on council. There are different opinions, and there's always different. Like we have 91 different properties that were on the list of properties that we're not using.
I appreciate that. You got lots of properties you want to go through, and et cetera. But I'm talking about this sanctuary. And I guess what I'm asking you is it on the block? Is it something that council's prepared to sell or a portion of it to raise monies?
Is it on the block? I can't remember for sure. It was on the block. I thought we'd taken it down, but I can't say for sure. We did consider a bunch of them.
Are you prepared to say here and now that you want to see the preservation of the Nahuatl Sanctuary?
I hope we can save it, yes.
Council certainly has its critics, and the arena was part of an inventory of buildings and infrastructure within the township under the asset management plan. Now, it states that there is a $27 million deficit. That's money that's need to be spent to deal with buildings, roads, sidewalks, vehicles, equipment, and so forth. This year, the township contributed $1.42 million towards these kinds of things. Yet some argue that it should be closer to $3 million. So first, why is council not spending more, and is this a good strategy?
The reason the council isn't spending more is because we're under the impression that people don't necessarily want a major, major increase in taxes. That is where we get most of our money. And in order to come up with the figures that you're mentioning, we'd have to increase taxes dramatically. And I don't believe, Robert, I don't, been going to the province, and if you talk to people in other municipalities, and I'm not only talking about close ones, I'm talking ones from across Ontario. There is a known deficit in finances in municipal government, and yes, we can raise the taxes to where people can't afford them, and we don't want to do that. We have to look after our people.
Politicians like to talk about making tough decisions, and yet there are those in the community who feel that council's not stepping up when it comes to making tough decisions around the budget. And there's some who try to identify certain areas that there can be savings. What do you say to those people who are being critical?
I say thank you very much for your comments. I say it keeps us sharp. We try and look at different stuff. We do have people that say you mentioned that we have a lot of people, pardon me, you people mentioned about how poor the roads are. I can give you examples of a lot of people, or some people will say how good the roads are. And it's trying to, the challenge with this job and any politicians is trying to get the needs and provide those, and then the other ones do the best you can and try and meet as many needs as possible. As I said before, and I don't know if I emphasized it enough, 70% of the tax or the spending that the township does is legislated by the province. That doesn't leave too much out of a $9 million or $10 million budget, actually $11 million. But you understand what I'm saying. And you do point out, rightfully so, that goods and services doesn't seem to be high enough. Well, it's difficult to get it to where, you pick, for example, there's lots of people that charge more for parks and recreation that we don't. There's a good example is the Wicklow Beach. That's used an awful lot by people to put their boats in and out. We don't charge for that type of stuff, and we're faced with the similar thing on the Rice Lake, where you have a couple of boat launches, but it costs an awful lot of money to to come up with ways of paying for those. And I'm saying physically, how do you do that? Do you stand for a person down there for 8 hours a day and hope you catch the right people coming across? And because there's some days you won't get anything.
I interviewed Chris Williams Caledat last week. She sent a letter to council on January 7th and says she did not receive a response to her multiple questions and concerns. Can you address this and why there was no response?
I don't know if I can or not, but I'll give you my thoughts. Township staff do as best the job that they can. They have many demands. I know this lady that you mentioned. I don't know her really personally, but I could recognize her because she did come to a couple of council meetings. She has good intentions, and I'm not saying anything about that. Some of the information that she collects has never been really fully investigated, I don't believe. And I would encourage her to work with staff. I mean, staff do the best that they can. And if they're not getting the answers, then they should come to their council member. And if the council member has time, then I'm sure that they're getting the answers that they need.
But if somebody writes a letter, and she did, and it's addressed to you, the mayor, isn't that supposed to automatically go on the agenda for council so that everybody can read it? And, you know, usually these things get accepted for information purposes, or sometimes they get debated. But why wasn't it ever put on the agenda back earlier in January so the council could at least acknowledge that it had been sent in, regardless of the content?
Well, it is not sent. It is sent in to a bunch of people. And, you know, I think if people apply for those informations in a respectful way, they'll get answers. And that's all we can do. We want to work with our residents. And, you know, I don't want to bring up, I'm not going to go there.
There are a number of reports still coming from staff that could impact the budget. Are you prepared to reopen the budget if it's necessary?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, if there's something that's important there, or council makes the decision that they want to open it up, I'd be happy to open it up.
When can ratepayers expect to get their property tax notifications?
Actually, we got them yesterday for the first two payments, one in the end of February, and I believe the other one's in the end of April. And then after the budget is complete and the tax rates are established, then they'll get the tax notices.
John Logel, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Robert, it's always a pleasure.
That was Alnwick Haldeman Township Mayor John Logel. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.